Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today with John Downing.
Now, good morning to you, John. And I tell you now, this week on the West Coast, Southwest Coast, normally, well, there's been a lot of rain in Kerry, but not in the biblical extent that you've been experiencing on the East Coast.
Indeed. Do you want to tell me that you're smugging for Kerry and Ireland this morning?
Well, I detected maybe a little smidge of schadenfreude among some. Not among us, but among some of us. Well, particularly see, over the coverage from some of the national media about flooding in Dublin.
This is it. You'll have to get over yourselves down there in the southwest and just face a simple fact that rain and floods and things like that only happen if they happen in the Pale.
Okay.
So there you are.
That's learnt us, John. That has learnt us.
Absolutely.
And the flooding and the water has led to a flood of outbursts in the Dáil as well, hasn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. There was a torrent of statistics, of self-righteousness, of I told you so, of yeah, boo sucks, your crowd are useless, and the other coming back on the other side saying, well, you wouldn't be much better, you're not much better, and it's not that simple. A bit of right on all sides. This, another set piece, absolute furious clash between Piers Doherty of Sinn Féin and Taoiseach and Fine Gael leader Simon Harris. Basically, Piers Doherty read out a long list of promises made on flood defences and a much, much shorter list of things delivered on flood defences, and he related it directly to Simon Harris, saying, there you were a junior minister 2014-2015, responsible for flooding, junior in finance, in charge of the OPW, which is the lead agency on flood defences. So it went on, I think, right on both sides, but I think flood defence, as opposed to remedies, the government and the local authorities were as good as they could have been in the immediate of this crisis. For example, on Monday, they had what they call an incorporeal, a ring around of ministers, and they approved increases in flood relief money to people who can't get insurance, and very many people can't get insurance. I can't get house insurance. I'm on that list myself against flooding. So that, you know, there were a lot of immediate things done. The story on longer term things that would prevent this is it's very poor. But there are reasons. For example, there's you only move the flooding. I mean, take the case of Fermoy, which would be familiar to many of your listeners, of the Blackwater just lashing into the centre of Fermoy there to the one side of the Cork City side of the bridge and all of that. But you move it. And when you move it, there are consequences for other people. So there has to be pretty meticulous studying and all that sort of thing. And it takes time. And the people in Enniscorthy in County Wexford found to their cost, they've been listening to various promises for 25 years on this issue. So one thing that Simon Harris did twice promise last week and again this past week was that flood defences, that it would go immediately to the new Commission Planála, and that there would be just the planning board, and that there would be just one phase in the thing rather than it having to go through the local authority and then probably inevitably to the planning board and so on. And this has been trailed a long time and trailed again this week, but we've yet to actually see that legislation on critical infrastructure projects.
And let's move on. The Irish Times Ipsos B&A opinion poll that came out this week Imagine Micheál Martin wouldn't be too unhappy about its findings.
Yeah, I think so. It was sort of a funny kind of poll. One would, some can argue, is a bit pointless. Time and place were years, barring accidents or emergencies, were years away from any election of any kind. So, and all the changes really were within the margin of error, which are 3%. But yes, it was at very least not bad news for Fianna Fáil. In fact, good argument for saying good news for Fianna Fáil. They gained 2 points. They're still very poorly fixed on 19%. Sinn Féin dropped 3%, but they're still the biggest. But yes, the thing about Micheál Martin, his approval rating is back up, and he's he has recovered from the last poll from the Irish Times before Christmas was a bit of a shocker. It was the backwash from the disaster that was the presidential election last October. Now he's the most popular, back as the most popular leader in the country, significantly, while a lot of people think it's time for him to go. Not Fianna Fáil voters. 4 out of 5 Fianna Fáil voters believe he should stay. That may be a message to would-be rebels if and when they are ever going to have a go at him and his leadership.
Yeah, the poll shows 24% for Sinn Féin, down 3 points.
Yeah.
19% Fianna Fáil up 2, and Fine Gael 18%, no change. And as you said there, yeah. Micheál Martin is the most popular leader. Just wondering, though, the poll shows, though, that if you're looking at voting patterns or support, indicative support in the Gen Zs, would you call them? Some Gen Zs, I suppose, a lot of Gen Zs, the 18 to 34-year-old age group, that support, the combined support for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael is 26%.
Yeah. I think message on particularly housing access, rents, stuff like that. There's certainly this government is not doing well. That's the other thing. Dissatisfaction with government is at a 6-year low or high, whatever way you want to look at that. So yes, the government now, pretty much 13 months in office, they haven't exactly hit the ground running. In fact, they've just run into a whole series of snags, and it's kind of very lackluster at present. And that point you make about younger voters, yes, is very valid.
When we come back, we'll be talking about scramblers, scooters, electric bikes, and of course, Larry Moran.
Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today with John Downing.
John, a listener says Enniscorthy shouldn't be holding their breath. Here's the timetable for the Tree Flood Relief Works Programme. So 2021 up to this year, assessment, development and design. 26 to 2028, planning, development and consent. 2028, works, packages and tenders for the Tralee floods relief. 2028 to 2031, construction. And finally, 2031 to 2032, 6 years from now, handover. So don't hold your breath, Enniscorthy, is the advice from that listener.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was listening to a man talk. I know Enniscorthy quite well because I go to South Wexford from time to time on holidays when I'm not going to Kerry, of course. I was listening to a man saying, do you know what? There are people who have lived and died on Coronation Street in the length of time we're listening to promises about flood relief and the River Slaney and all of that. So, yeah, your listener is completely correct, and that has to change.
Now, John, the tragic death, the terrible death of 16-year-old Grace Lynch in Dublin earlier this month has prompted the introduction of Grace's Law on Wednesday to ban scrambler bikes in public places, including roads, parks and car parks. And there's also legislation in relation to scooters and electric bikes too.
Yeah, I think this tells us a number of things. I mean, we have a lot of law. And you know, if something happens, and the first thing you hear is, "Do you know what? We need more law." But this comes in really these scrambler motorbike things, which, you know, are, there's a clue in the title. They're meant for sport and recreation in confined places. But you have people bombing around the roads. There is law on it. There has been for quite some time, but it has been deficient and there are too many gaps. There was law in 2023 to address this issue, which amended legislation from the mid-1990s. Difficulty was that there was a thing about definition of scramblers, because there are different types of motorbikes, some of which can do a road job and also a bit of scrambling out the country at the weekend, so to speak. And that was one element. The other element was, if people are going to continually flout the rules, you know, surely the bike should be taken off them. And there was a doubt as to the powers of Gardaí to repossess bikes in those type of situations. So we are promised through Cabinet on Monday, the ministers involved, Justice and Transport, are empowered to go by regulation, and it should be done in a matter of weeks, to remedy those shortcomings. You're talking about scooters and electric bikes. I think many of your listeners will know two big things there. The first place is that the generation who use them tend to dress the dark, the uniform.
Like something out of the Matrix, basically.
Yeah, basically. I think that's it, you know. Whoever your influencer is. Anyway, they manage, and this day of the year and at dusk and everything, it's not their fault if they don't wind up under your car wheels. So there's talk of finally mandatory high-vis clothing and mandatory helmets, no exceptions. And there is a promise, yet another promise, that for once, them using the footpaths and endangering vulnerable people, especially elderly, the very young, parents pushing prams and buggies and things like that, that they will be protected by enforcing the rules of not allowing these contraptions on the pavement. So there you are. Maybe your listeners say, don't be holding your breath again, we've heard this before. But they're relatively simple things that can be done, and we're told they will be done.
But it's about enforcement,
sooner rather
isn't
than
it,
later.
It's about enforcement
is, enforcement is a big issue, yes. Yeah.
Finally, in the time we've left, John, I want to play a clip of the chair of Board BIA, Larry Moran, speaking before the Oireachtas Agriculture Committee yesterday.
We're a global food business whose products are consumed by between 40 and 50 million consumers per week in the markets we serve. We must always ensure continuous food supply to our customers, no matter what the circumstance. If anything happened to one of our plants in, let's say, Nace, God forbid, part of our contingency has to be that we have to demonstrate that we have dual manufacturing capability in other countries.
And that is the chair of Board BIA, Larry Moran, speaking before the Oireachtas Agriculture Committee yesterday. He's also CEO of Dawn Farms. He says he's never been conflicted in his role as chair of the organisation which promotes Irish food. And this is all, of course, to do with the controversy that erupted in recent weeks after it emerged that Dawn Farms had sourced beef from Brazil previously. Farming groups and some opposition are saying it's untenable and he needs to go. There's a conflict between that and his role as chair of Board BIA. What did you make of his performance yesterday?
I listened to him because he was on. The meeting started before, around about lunchtime. I thought he gave a great account of himself, to be honest. He came out fighting, but he did, particularly that point you make. But he said, look, I'm 45 years promoting Irish food, Irish products, and it is a success story. He pointed out that the level of exports of Irish food products globally to very many countries. And then he made that point, which is, in summary, what he's saying there is, look, we actually have to buy in some foreign stuff to keep a toe in the door in case there is. I mean, you know, for example, there may be foot and mouth in Ireland, or, you know,
blue
God
tongue.
Forbid, as he said. But yeah, all the sort of things that can happen and that can come in overnight. And he has to be able to keep the show running. So I think it was a reasonable point. Now, the IFA especially, and the other farm organisations as well, there were about 50 farmers outside. There's an ongoing occupation and picket down on Pembroke Road in Dublin at the Board BIA headquarters. They say, look, of course, it's a very sensitive time for farmers with the Mercosur deal and all the rest. And it did, at first investigation, seem rather strange to be buying in Brazilian beef, of all things, which is, you know, they are the world's biggest producers. There are big questions about their veterinary and public health standards and all of that. So it did initially seem like a conflict, and it did initially seem that the farm unions had a case to say, look, it's time to replace that man. He should go. But the government have dug in their heels. They have been, the farmers are heavily supported by Sinn Féin. The Minister for Agriculture, Martin Hayden, himself off a farm in South Kildare, says, look, Sinn Féin's policy in these matters is sack first and ask questions later. But I think yesterday, Larry Murn's performance at that committee has entrenched his position, and in a funny way has kind of wheeled the scrum. Not a good time to mention scrums after last night, but has turned things around, and the IFA and the other farm unions have a certain dilemma now. They have an offer to come in and have talks. I think a reasonable person would say that's not a bad offer, all things considered.
Okay.
So we'll see.
We'll see. John, we're out of time, unfortunately. Thank you for another entertaining and insightful call from the Dáil.